Let us pray. Lord, we greet you this morning and thank you for your promised presence here in this place and among these people. And we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will descend upon us as you did in the people of the book of Acts and speak to us, convert us, make us mindful of your promises and blessings and power, and be strongly with us. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a curious thing that in our lectionary week by week now, we have encountered Jesus as the bread of life. You know, there was one Sunday that we contemplated Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and other Sundays that we've contemplated Jesus portrayed as the vine and the vine dresser and all of that. But there are three Sundays that are dedicated to Jesus as the bread of life. It reminded me of just how true what George and Hannah's presentation earlier today was. How life is very difficult for all of us, and that you share with me how difficulties and challenges and crises pervade our lives. I remember back as a child, all of the different things I experienced as a child, all the broken bones and all the stitches and all the things that I experienced, and how I would be tempted, if I knew enough, to cry out to God, God, deliver me. Get me out of this. And as an adult, the same thing. Same thing. Different kinds of challenges, but obviously still very many challenges in my life, as there are in your lives. And so though I begged God for relief, and I begged him for a miracle, God, please come and help me out of this. Please deliver me from these things. His answer was more often a sustaining grace rather than a delivering grace. Oh, I wanted God to deliver me. And his grace to me was, I will sustain you and I will hold you up, and I will comfort you, and I will surround you in the midst of what you're going through. Well, the Old Testament today talks about the gift to God's people of manna. And if you know what that word means, it would cause you to smile every time, because the word simply means, what the heck is it? What is this that shows up every morning? What is it? Something like something sweet and coriander seed, and it shows up like frost and it flakes. What is it? It's manna. And it's provided for the Israelites in the desert. The wilderness, it says, but the wilderness for them was the desert. It's not like a jungle, but it's a desert. So they were sent by God and released from prison in Egypt to go into the desert. Now, we know a lot about the desert here in Phoenix. We didn't know much before we came to Phoenix, but now we know what the desert is like. And we know that a desert can't sustain life, can it? You have to have something that you bring along with you in a backpack, or there's just no way to sustain life. God sent them into a desert. Well, why is it that God would relieve them from bondage in Egypt, open the sea, the Red Sea, for them to come through into this land that would be a desert? And the only answer is that God wanted to teach them things that could only be learned in a desert. You see, in verse 3 of this Old Testament lesson, the 16th chapter of Exodus, that there was no bread at all that was provided. So the people began to whine and gripe and complain. And in the next chapter, we hear that there's no water. And so they began to whine and gripe and complain. It was a language of ingratitude. It was a language that basically said to God, I wish we hadn't come here. I wish we hadn't made the decision to come from slavery into this place of wilderness. You see how they had forgotten the hand of the Lord? How bad it was in Egypt, and they had forgotten how God miraculously provided a way out into freedom. They had forgotten it. See, technically, they were out of slavery, but slavery wasn't out of them. They were still thinking slavery. They weren't thinking freedom. So you can get people out of slavery in an instant. I mean, you just walk through a sea that's opened up for you by God, and you get to freedom. You're out of slavery. So legally, they're free. Legally, they're totally liberated, but actually, they haven't learned freedom. Now, does that describe any of us? God has declared us who are Christians righteous, right before God. He's declared us that. That's our standing before God, that we are righteous. And yet, how many of us have learned to live into the freedom that God has provided for us? That's what it takes a lifetime. It takes education. It would have taken the Israelites about a week when they were free from Egypt to walk from Egypt into Canaan, into the Promised Land. They would just go right across the desert and they would all enter into the Promised Land. 1 week, 7 days. But instead, it takes how long? 40 years. 40 years. So you got to ask the question, why, God? And the only answer that makes any sense at all to me is that it's because there are lessons here that you would not learn otherwise, that I have some things to teach you. See, it's not a message of transportation. It's a message of education, this time in the wilderness. And so at the end of Moses' life, when he looks back after these 40 years, and in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he marvels at God's provision for those 40 years in the wilderness. He thanks God, and then he reminds the people, now don't forget God released you from slavery in Egypt. He did that. And don't forget that he provided for you every step of the way. Everything that you needed, God provided for you. Don't forget that he provided the manna, the strange bread. Don't forget that he provided the water, the quail, that he provided clothes for you those 40 years that never wore out. How many of you have had a coat or a pair of shoes that in 40 years have not worn out? God provided that for them. And he said to the Israelites, he wasn't able to enter into the Promised Land, but Moses said, now don't forget, God did that for you. He provided that for you. 40 years, because it would take that long to get them, get the slavery out of them. Slavery and liberation happened in an instant, but freedom from slavery took a lifetime. It took a lifetime. The liberation that they knew in their heads needs to be lived out in real life. It needs to be realized in real life. It needs to be lived into in real life. Paul in 2 Corinthians says this, this present suffering, and the wilderness was certainly a time of suffering and challenge and discomfort. This present suffering, Paul says, is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory when we would enter into the promised land, the land that God had promised. And so God gave them manna in the Old Testament lesson in Exodus 16. He gave them manna. And I want to tell you this morning that I see this as pure grace. It was grace that God got them out of Egypt. Nothing that they would do to earn that. It was God choosing to release them from bondage. God made it happen. God sent the 10 plagues. God opened the Red Sea and freed them from their bondage in Egypt. God made it happen. And then when they were in the wilderness, God provided this bread that was provided for them 6 days a week. And all he said was them, this is my provision. Now just go out and collect it. Just gather it up. Manna is God's grace. And it's God's provision. And it's a daily reminder of God's grace in their life. And a daily reminder that God will take care of them. And a daily reminder that they will be fed by God with this manna. And it's even more important to us as Christians when we know that Jesus identifies himself as the manna, the bread of life. And so it's a reminder of God's provision for them. In effect, he's saying to them, if it takes a whole 40 years to teach you that I will care for you and provide for you, and that you could trust me, then we'll take 40 years. And so it wasn't a matter of transportation, it was a matter of education, the time in the wilderness. At first they wanted to return to Egypt, they wanted to go back to where they had the predictable, you know, it was something we can really count on, and the foods that they were used to. And the manna tasted weird to them. It was weird. Weird stuff. What is it? But they received God's grace in the manna and daily reminders of God's grace so that the grace of God would begin to get into them and seep into them, and they would begin to understand and be educated about how much God really loves them and how much God really provides for them. They learn to expect God's faithfulness every day. And that's why Jesus would teach them who came to him asking, Lord, teach us how to pray. That's why Jesus would teach them to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Because without the daily reminders, the regular reminders, the regular encounters with God's grace, how could we ever understand and appropriate it and live it in our lives? But every day they encountered God's grace because they needed it, and so do we. How could we possibly understand how much God loves us without these daily reminders of God's grace? It took them 40 years. I wonder how long it's going to take us. You know, God provides his grace daily. I'm new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. How long will it take us? In other words, Jesus is saying, by saying, give us this day our daily bread, he's saying, give me daily reminders so that I can get the big picture, so that eventually it begins to sink into me what it is to be loved by a God who loves even the unlovable. I'm free. Now Lord, make me free. I'm free, but make me free. I'm wondering, too, this morning as I contemplate the message of the manna in the wilderness, I'm wondering if it got better, the manna, as time went by. I'm thinking it might have. You get used to it. Trying to think of something that I didn't use. Oh, you know, asparagus? Didn't used to like it, but I got used to it, and now I love it with time. Brussels sprouts, same thing. And so I'm wondering if it took time to teach them. And the more that they daily encountered God's grace, I wonder if it got sweeter, better, the closer they got to Canaan, the promised land. Remember Reap a Cheep in The Dawn Treader? C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe series, or the Narnia series. Reap a Cheep is on this boat, and he's a little mouse, or is he a rat?
A mouse.
A mouse. Okay, he's a mouse. Thanks. So he's a little mouse on this boat, and he's they've headed far beyond where anyone had ever gone before. And so they're way, way out in the sea, and one day he's thrown overboard, and he's shocked because the water is sweet. And he's delighted. He tastes this sweet water, and he's delighted, because he knows that it means that he's close to Aslan's country. He's close to God. He's close to the promised land. He's so close he could taste it. Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 8 said to the Israelites to gather grace every day, 6 days a week, for 40 years, hoping that they would learn grace. They've been freed, but they didn't know it. They didn't live it. And God wanted them to be really, truly free. He did it to teach those who are free to be free. So the strains that we face, the discomforts that we face, the difficulties that we face in our lives and the life in the desert are opportunities, first, to pray to God, help me, Lord. Please deliver me from these things. And then opportunities to pray that the experience would be an encounter with sustaining grace. That there are some things that can't be learned otherwise. God, sustain me in the midst of this. Hold me. Uphold me. Strengthen me. Help me to see your hand at work in my life. It's not God giving me what I don't want, but God giving me what I really need. Freedom from slavery, the slaveries that we find ourselves in, the slavery to sin, the slavery that keeps us in guilt, it motivates us from guilt, the slavery of not being able to enter into the abundant life that God has planned for us, the life in the Spirit, the life in the kingdom, the slavery that keeps us from becoming what God wants us to be is the slavery that God wants to deliver us from. And once and for all, he has. And once and for all, he's showing us the value of that as we live it out in our daily encounter with God's grace. And so as we pick up the little flaky things off the ground that God provides for us, be reminded that God is teaching us big lessons, trying to get it into our hearts, that those who are free, he wants to be free indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.